Our text for our sermon this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And in that passage, we heard that there are varieties of gifts, but one Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. That passage there is telling us that we need to use the gifts that we have been given to bring honor, glory, and worship to God, and to build up God's people, and to build up God's church. That's in essence what that passage talks about. So I want to begin this morning by sharing with you a story. It's a true story. It's set about 45 years ago when I was a hospital chaplain at a large regional medical center in central Pennsylvania. It was a big hospital. It had a medical school, had a dental school, had a nursing school, and lots of patients from all over central Pennsylvania. Well, when I got there, I was assigned primary responsibility for certain sections in the hospital. And my sections were the intensive care unit, there was a cancer ward, and then there was a med-surg recovery from surgery ward. And then we had a regional burn unit, where people who were severely burned with second and third degree burns are brought into that place to try and help them recover. So on one of the first days I was working, I was walking down the hall and I passed a room and I heard a man crying. And so I stopped and I turned and the door was partially open and he said to me, "Father," although I wasn't a priest then, I was just a seminarian. He said, "Father, can you come in and pray with me?" So I stopped what I was doing, I turned around and I went in. And when I saw him, he was burned from head, neck, torso, into his legs, burns over about 80% of his body. And he was in great pain because when you get burned like that, they have to take you to do something called dermabrasion, where they have to take off the dead skin so the new skin will grow. And when they do that, it hurts really awfully. So I walked in, and I was going to say a prayer with him, and he said, "Would you hold my hand?" Well, the first thing that popped into my mind is, he's got burns, and I don't have gloves, but he didn't have burns on his hands, and it was kind of hard to say no to that request. So I took his hand, and I prayed with him, and then when I finished, he said, "Will you come see me again, because I'm going to be here for a while?" I said, "Well, I've got lots of things to do, but you know what? I'll make you one of my priorities to try and see you virtually every day for as long as you're here or as long as I'm here." So I left and I went back to check on him. Later, I learned his name was William and that he had been involved in a tragic fire but had been saved, thank God. Well, over the course and event of the weeks and months, he started to get better. He started to heal. His skin started to grow back. And towards the end of his time there, he said, "You know, I'm going to have a big party when I get back to my home. I live in State College," which was about an hour away from where this hospital was and where I live. He said, "Would you come?" I said, "Well, it so happens I know I'm going to be off on the 4th of July. Yeah, I'll try and make that work." Well, the day before he left the hospital, I get a beep on my pager. I had pagers back then. And they said, "Would you go by and see William?" And I went by to see him. He said, "I'm getting ready to leave, but I want to know if you're going to come see me for my party at my house on 4th of July. We're going to begin at 10. We're going to end at 4, and it'll be great." And I said, "Yes, William, I'm going to be there." So 4th of July arrived. I arrived at the house and got to be reintroduced to William's wife and to his daughters who were about my age, and got to meet many of his family members and many of his friends, and they grilled hot dogs and hamburgers. We had apple pie. We had ice cream. I could eat those things back when I wasn't a diabetic. And we just had a great time. Well, as I was preparing to leave, William said, "I need to speak to you by yourself." So I walked over. It was just he and I. And William said, "Do you know why I invited you to this party?" I said, "Well, you were celebrating your recovery." He said, I am, but that's not the real reason why I invited you. I invited you because when I first met you, I was at the worst point I'd ever been in my life. I was depressed. I was hurting. I didn't know whether I was going to live or die. It was a horrible time for me, and you saw me in those worst of times in my life. And I wanted you to come and see me at my house, with my family, with my friends, getting better, so that you see now me in the best of times. And I said, thank you, William. That's a real witness and testament. And most importantly, I'm grateful to God that God healed you. Well, it was about 15 months or so ago that the bishops called me and said, could you go to a place called Good Shepherd in Cornelius? And as I told you when I arrived, I said, well, I've heard of Cornelius. I know it's near Charlotte, but I don't really know anything about it, except I know it's a long way from Spartanburg. And then the bishop said, well, you know, the Lord has need of you. That's like an order from God through your bishop. And so we came, and for us, it was a great blessing. But when we got here, we saw that Good Shepherd was in a tough place. There were people that were hurting. There were people that were depressed, and rightfully so. There were people that were angry, and some of them had a reason to be angry. And there were a lot of people that were confused about what exactly was going on. And you know, the first several weeks that we came up here on the long drive back to Spartanburg, Cindy and I would talk. Not about the confusion or the anger or the depression or the hurt. We would talk about the ways we were seeing God was raising up people here at Good Shepherd to step forward and to fill in the gap. And boy, were we impressed by that. Not that those other things and those other feelings weren't real, but what we remembered was how people were stepping forward, just like in our epistle lesson for today from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are varieties of gift, but one Spirit. There's varieties of service, but one Lord. And you know, I got to tell you, Cindy and I got to witness a miracle. And one aspect, and I'm going to share with you several aspects of that miracle, was I got to see what your bishops did behind the scenes. Now, I've been a priest for a long time, and much of the time, the best one can hope for from bishops is not for them to be a hindrance. Especially when I was in the Episcopal Church. But I got to tell you, all four of these guys dug in and dug deep to help y'all in and through that difficult time. And they're all busy people, but they weren't too busy for you because they love you and they knew that you were hurting. And they stepped forward to serve. And then I met your senior warden from last year. And over the time that we were here, we got to see all the various and sundry things he was doing behind the scenes to help keep this church moving forward. And it took a lot of time, effort, and energy, but your senior warden stepped forward to serve. And your junior warden during that time last year stepped forward to serve. And your vestry last year stepped forward to serve in a very difficult and trying time. And God took that service to help build up this church. And what a great delight while we were here to see that the children's ministry continued right on. And it continues on today right on the other side of that wall. And what a wonderful blessing, because there someone stepped forward to help hold things together and move things forward. Even with the youth, we know that some people moved on, maybe for good reason, but there were other people that stepped forward to help get things back going. And what a blessing that is to the youth, and what a blessing that is to your parish. And every Sunday when we showed up here, we saw the altar guild coming up here and preparing the altar, putting out the bread and the wine, dressing God's table. And what a faithful ministry that was. And to see the acolytes who showed up each and every Sunday. Not one Sunday while I was here did I have to go without an acolyte. Sometimes somebody stepped up for somebody else who might not have been there, but there was always somebody. One of these kids always stepped up and forward to do that. And what Sunday did we miss? I don't know whether you call it the worship team or your music team. I call these people the gift from God, who help us sing hymns and songs and spiritual songs that bring us together in Jesus' name. And they were here every Sunday doing that. And the greeters and the ushers and far more people than I can ever, the lectors, lay readers, chalice bearers. It was a fulfillment of what Scripture says, that passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are varieties of gifts, and those of you who step forward have gifts, and you put those gifts to work to build up the body of Christ and to bring honor and glory and worship to God. So what I want you to know and remember, maybe when some of you thought what you were going through might appear to Cindy and me, and maybe it felt like to you, that it was the very worst of times, and it was tough. What Cindy and I saw were faithful Christians stepping forward to serve God in this place each and every Sunday. At first, to hold the church together, and over time, to help the church move forward to where we are at this glorious place where you will welcome your new rector, David, and his wife and his family next Sunday. So I've got three things I want you to do over the course and event of the next month with the arrival of your new rector. Homework, if you please. Christ work, if you really listen. First, relocating from one parish to another is always a difficult thing, even under the very best of circumstances. You have to uproot your wife. You have to uproot your children. They go to new schools. They come to a new church. They don't know people's names. There's hundreds of you, and there's four of them. Two kids, right? Okay. Where are your name tags? Help them get to know your name. Everybody wants to be called by name. Where are your name tags? But also, be prayerful for your new rector in this time of transition. I can promise you, David is already coveting your prayers for him and for your family. And some specific prayers that you can offer is that the transition would go well and smoothly. So that's the first P. The second thing that we need to do is you need to be present. Present at church, especially next Sunday. If those of you who are here now, or those of you who might be listening or watching at home, be here next Sunday. Put that on your calendar. It's really important to get off with a great start. And the liturgy means the work of the people, and nobody can do your part of the liturgy but you. So please be present at worship so he can get to know you and you can get to know him. And the third and final thing is this. Focus. Focus on what God's already done and what God is doing and what God is going to do. Because if you think about that and you ponder that and you focus on that, you get a taste of what a miracle looks like. Because as I look it out to you this morning in this church, you're at a very different place. God is at work, for which I say, thanks be to God. Amen.